Hello, Exile. If you're hearing this, you're listening to the Still Sane podcast on Spotify, Apple, or another podcasting service. If you're doing that, I'm missing out on some YouTube goodness, some juiciness to the YouTube channel, which is the primary way of growing this whole ordeal. So if you'd like, if you really enjoy the podcast, please leave a review on Apple or Spotify. Give it 5 stars, give it 4 stars, whatever. It'll help boost my reach there and hopefully encourage me to continue to post there and grow my presence on these podcasting platforms. Yes, it does cost a decent chunk of money to post these onto them. I know it's shocking, but it is true. All right, enjoy the podcast. Thanks, Exiles. Hello, hello, my fellow exiles. I don't know why I'm doing a different intro every single time. Welcome to another episode of Still Sane. Tonight, I am sitting down with Snoobay85. We are going to talk about all things Path of Exile 2 Early Access, and specifically Dawn of the Hunt. We have a slew of topics to address, and we are already 20 minutes in due to some fun tech issues. Chat, big W, you saved us on both the audio and both audio settings, actually. Microphone input and output. So thank you, chat. Snooman, we are about a month in. You have been playing Dawn of the Hunt essentially since its inception, all the way a month ago. You've been pretty consistent. I think you stuck with it through like Freesia. Did you hop to Freesia and Last Epoch, or have you just been playing PoE2? And during that time, have you been enjoying it?
Yeah, I've not been playing PoE2 since like 0.1 straight through.
Okay.
By the way, thanks for having me.
Of course.
It's great to be back and really enjoy your podcast. So, yeah, happy to be here. I did play Freesia.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize we'd talk a little bit about that. But, yeah, I was really enthusiastic to get back into it because of the new ascendancies. One of them really spoke to me for a build that I wanted to make a long time ago but never did, just because it didn't quite line up with what I wanted out of, you know, an ascendancy. There were a lot of issues. So then we had the Blind Prophet, and that was a totally different ascendancy than anything we'd seen before. That just fit the mold exactly with what I wanted. And so I was extremely excited to play that build. I played Freesia for the build, which is not necessarily the reason a lot of people played it. But if it wasn't for that, I'm not really sure what I would have done. We're kind of coming back to another similar situation where maybe, just maybe, 3.16 or 3.26 will be coming around the corner. And I'm not exactly sure if and what I'm going to do with that. But for now, definitely enjoying Dawn of the Hunt. And you're right, I have been playing it pretty much straight through since it released.
And so, obviously, the launch of it was, no matter what, it was polarizing, right? Lots of people, there were lots of complaints. Some people were just loving it. Lots of people were hating it. There were lots of people in the middle that were just like, okay, this is obviously crap. This part of it is good. How have you enjoyed it? Because you've stuck on it with a spear build all the way through with the Huntress, right? One of the new skills, combo-focused. Yeah. How have you enjoyed that new playstyle introduction to PoE2?
Well, I mean, people got a lot of different reasons to enjoy the game. For me, I'm able to enjoy it maybe a little more than some people because I really enjoy the spear archetype. Mm. Not necessarily like, you know, what, you know, people's view of it is like overall, but the way that GGG set this up, it is very much a sort of agility-based class that tries to take advantage of both melee and projectile. And for anyone who's ever seen me play, I usually play like a bow build, but I typically play it like a melee bow build. I really like playing it extremely aggressively. I like the whole point blank variation of ranged gameplay in PoE1, for example. And so this really spoke to me, being able to take more advantage of that type of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to actually, you know, it's not just a keystone that makes you do more damage if you're close. It's actually, you know, interactive gameplay where you're choosing to use certain skills that feed off of each other in some pretty spectacular ways. Mm-hmm. And it makes for a really satisfying gameplay for me. And I know that's not everybody, but that's just like, that is quite literally maybe my favorite archetype of all. Because if I look back and I think about every single type of character I've ever played, it's not like I've never played a tanky character or I've never played a caster. or I've never played, you know, a pure off-screening, you know, agility class or something. But I've always really gravitated toward the more like, you know, like ninja style agility style play, you know, where you're in and out, quick in and out of combat. You just kind of move faster than the monsters and, you know, kill or be killed. And yeah, a lot of positioning,
right?
Focus on what you're doing. I've always liked that. Yeah.
Yeah. So then it was definitely heaven for you. How did the, early on, especially, how did the frenzy charge generation feel for you for a lot of the abilities that required it? Because I know that was one of the problems when I was playing was the frenzy charges. It was also like parry charges, because I was trying to make Fangs of Frost work. Oh, I love that ability. It's so satisfying, but the payload requires parry charge. I wish it required I wish it was parry or frenzy, because I think I could make it work with frenzy, but with parry, it's like, eh. But how did that feel early on? And has it, obviously your build evolves over time and you're able to automate a lot of that and make it feel good consistently. But how was it early game when you're first building up that character?
Yeah, I think the devs definitely missed the mark on the whole parry mechanic. Clearly, you know, not all feedback is good, not all feedback is bad, but the community was pretty well in agreement that the parry mechanic did not hit the mark. And I 100% agree with that. I knew that back when there was the issue of the power charge acquisition from Killing Palm with the monk, and that nobody wanted to do that. And it wasn't even worth like trying to get a power charge, you know, to spend it through Rolling Thunder or whatever in Act 1. You are better off just auto-attacking.
Mm-hmm.
And the same was true here. I took that lesson and I applied it this time around. So I never even really engaged with the headache that was to try and parry. To be honest, I did it for like maybe 3 zones in Act 1 or something. And then I was like, yeah, this is the same thing as the monk problem that we had before. We're just going to auto-attack. Now, I realized that auto-attack seemed either a little weaker this time around, or the game was maybe a little bit more challenging. So I started experimenting quickly, which I would hope most people would. And I immediately, you know, was trialing some of the skills that you could only use in Act 1, like Whirling Slash and Twister. Those are Act 1 abilities. And I saw that there was a unique opportunity to synergize them. It was pretty self-explanatory. 3 Whirling Slash makes your Twisters powerful, yada, yada. What I didn't realize is that there was a Frostbolt that you could hard cast too and make them extremely strong, and that the Elemental Twisters were bugged. And so a lot of people absolutely breezed through the campaign on Amazon. I did not pick up on that until around Cruel, Act 2 again, I think. And then from that point forward, I was already satisfied with the power level without the Elemental Twisters. And then I just breezed through the rest. Like, but the funny thing is they patched that bug out like, I don't know, maybe 8 hours after I was really started taking advantage of it. And we didn't realize it was bugged. It just kind of mysteriously, absolutely obliterating everything. But there's no way to really know that early, you know, if and how it was bugged. Then they fixed it and everybody said Twisters were trash. And then I just kept playing them because I never thought they were trash to begin with. So then we found out there was another bug that wasn't there, where they weren't doing as much damage as they should have been. And they fixed that one. And then they were even less trash. And so they were bugged twice, both in a good, once in a good way, once in a bad way. And in the end, I kept with it, man. I just kept doing it. And I can't even tell you. I've changed the build. Technically speaking, I've changed the build like 1,000 times.
That's awesome.
Testing out different things, and I've loved it. I think one of the big things people are missing about Dawn of the Hunt is this stage in the early access is a build creator's paradise, or a tester's. And for anyone who wants to somehow find some longevity, if you're bored of the game for whatever reason, just start playing random builds. Just make random stuff. Don't, you know, get out of the, you know, min-max mindset for a second, and just try a bunch of different stuff. And that's what I did, and I've extremely satisfied with where it's taken me.
Yeah, you took it all the way through. I think 2 days ago or 3 days ago, you put out that really good build guide about it as well. With the, is it accuracy stacking tech? There's like some hidden tech that you discovered, and now you got it basically down to what everybody seems to want for like an isometric ARPG, which is the single button, right? You have a few other buttons that you press, but a lot of the time, you press one and everything just is obliterated on the screen. It took a lot of build up to get there. You said, you know, 1,000 plus changes. So that's a good feeling. That's what I usually do in PoE 1, you know, is take a character, start to one character, start to finish and put mm-hmm. all my effort into it, and it always feels really, really good. And you had a lot of space to work because a lot of people just dumped Twister after the nerf, so sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Twister gear was dirt cheap. That's right. And, you know, anything that's not Lightning Spear is dirt cheap, you know, if it's specific to that. These, you know, people are trying to get a certain spear type, but I'm using the Flying Spear with the implicit for the projectile speed. Nobody wants that. I can't even tell you how many absolute dirt cheap spears I bought off trade to Krangle or send to the Recombinator, just destroying them, trying to get, you know, an upgrade or just getting an upgrade, slamming it, you know, paying almost nothing for a free Exalt Slam. And I think the spear that I have right now, which is one of the best on the server, started off as a 70x item that was half done already, one slam away, hit the slam, and then like been using a few whittling omens on it because it was that good. Uh-huh. It was worth doing. And that's the advantage to, you know, the spoils goes to those who are willing to test things that aren't meta. Right. For sure.
Definitely. Now, I just maybe to close out just the Amazon and spear topic, do you think they, GGG, succeeded with this initial implementation? For example, are you, or did you use a lot of those like support gems that wanted you to, I don't know what they're called, they're escaping my name, but they wanted you to, you know, hit in melee and then go out and you get a damage bonus, right? If you're from ranged, and all the various notables and little passive clusters that are scattered across the right-hand side of the tree. Are you engaging with those, or did you engage with those quite a bit?
Yeah. There's some on the tree that award you for that, and some where your positioning matters.
Right.
For that, these sort of conditional things. Yeah, conditionals are a bit of a tricky one. Like in some cases they're not very fun to deal with, but in some cases they can be. I think GGG's done a pretty good job about handling the conditionals for this. Things where you feel like you're actually in control and the decisions you make moment to moment in combat really make a difference. And you can actually see it and feel it in the amount of, you know, damage output that you have or whatever in those moments. It's good. I like Twister because there's actually a setup to it. The timing matters. If you screw up the timing, you will see, you know, the performance in that moment will drop pretty dramatically. Hmm. If you have good timing with it, it'll go up dramatically. And I mean, that in and of itself is pretty satisfying.
Definitely. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think that this is one of the conditionals that, like you hinted at, feels good as opposed to, you know, the damage on Tuesdays stuff that we see with other support gems and other parts of the tree. But getting bonus damage depending on where your character is moving and how you're moving your character, I think that's a good one, especially if it's as simple as get in super close, do a little bit of damage a meter away, and then get away and chuck a spear. I like that fantasy. It's cool.
Yeah.
And once there's 12 different, you know, or however many weapons there are going to be in the game, right, having that be one of the defined ones, that's great. There will be other opportunities to explore, like, okay, you constantly want to be freaking eons or, you know, many feet away or always in melee and circling around, right? It's going to be opportunity for that. So, well, cool. Now, another thing that Grindiger Games maybe changed at the beginning of the patch. I'm still confused as to what happened, and maybe you have some speculation on it, but they for sure altered it about 3 weeks in. That's the loot, Snoot. Now, I know you put out a decent chunk of farming strategy videos and comparisons, math-based comparisons. You do the math, which I mad respect.
Yeah.
So how does loot feel? I'm curious, maybe just now versus 0.10. Or I guess I think you have the math on it, like now versus 2 weeks ago. Like, was there a substantial increase? What do you think happened at the start of this patch that destroyed the loot? Because I don't know if it's like if it was an adverse reaction to the rarity changes or whatever. That's all speculation. I don't think GGG ever really said what happened to loot, because something obviously happened and it left a lot of people confused.
Yeah, a lot of people, well, there's several people who kind of know, kind of know what happened to loot. I think, like, I heard Empyrean Gaming didn't even play because of, he foresaw what was happening to loot. Major Keystone change, the loss of two additional modifiers to rare monsters is probably the single biggest nerf to loot, because monsters have rarity and quantity based on how many modifiers they have, and it's one of the most potent ways to get a lot of loot to drop. This is why rare monsters, especially in 0.1, rare monsters seem to be the biggest driving force to loot in general. And then there are ways to like roll it on the map as well, you know, or on the waystone, which you can still do, by the way. But the super easy, convenient, here, just take a keystone for one Atlas passive point, get two additional modifiers on all rare monsters. I mean, that's kind of outrageous in terms of the investment required to get more loot. It made it harder. So I guess the devs thought balance wise, well, you know, if we're adding two modifiers to rare monsters, they're going to be that much harder. So maybe it makes sense. But it doesn't really make sense, you know. Once you start trivializing the game, you just be a fool not to take that. This the moment you can start trivializing the content, it's a no-brainer. And then, yeah, there are several other things that are escaping me off the top of my head for where loot went. But for sure, when the patch came out, there was a precipitous increase. And I was only testing it through the lens of somebody already magic finding, doing the types of mechanics that people were doing before, like Breach, Delirium. With rarity on gear, I had like 100% rarity on gear before and after. I did 100 maps before, 100 maps after. Essentially, TLDR, I dropped about 33% of the loot that I dropped in 0.1 with a sort of equivalent farm. That was first round. Second round after the patch, I dropped about 66% loot. So, I mean, you know, I went from like, you know, a third of the loot to two-thirds of the loot. But I do believe that the patch awarded a much bigger increase for people who were farming on the lower end.
Yeah,
with you know, like no rarity on gear.
What's up?
And doing other mechanics. So one thing that came out of this is that like Breach is not the be all end all way to, you know, target farm currency.
Right.
Which is kind of nice. It's still probably the best if you, in a perfect world where you fully clear an entire Breach. I don't think there's going to be anything better than that. Mm-hmm. That's probably as it should be, right? Because it's extraordinarily hard to fully clear a Breach mm-hmm. in this setting. So that seems fair to me. And I, you know, I haven't unlocked the formula on, you know, rarity on gear and stuff. But to me, Delirium also had a major buff. The Delirious, you know, the depth of the mirror or the right. intensity of Delirium yeah. on the Waystone. Mm-hmm. I had one map where I had 125% deliriousness, and I seemed to drop everything under the sun in that map. And it was actually a highlight video on YouTube. I was like.
You Here's know, the
I
loot.
Was definitely like borderline freaking out. Like, was what it, is going on?
Was it the We Found the Loot video? I think that's what it
yeah.
was. Yeah, it was the We Found the Loot. Yeah.
Yeah. And then actually, a little more depth on this topic. I think, you know, you didn't really ask me this. Like, are you happy about the loot changes? A lot of people are like really happy about the loot changes, but to me, I'm fairly indifferent.
Okay.
Because I'm just kind of going along for the ride with whatever the vision for loot is. And this is kind of something that I've been railing against the community a bit more recently, is that I feel like the developers have a certain expectation for how much loot players ought to be getting, and that players than what the players have, and players are looking at it through the lens of, you know, the previous game, more so than trying to imagine a world where, you know. Well, as the meme goes, maybe it's a little more ruthless in terms of how much loot you're supposed to get. Maybe your gear upgrades are supposed to be derived differently. I really like the tiered rare system. Mm. And to me, that's a big driver for the changes in loot. Another major pain point for a lot of players is crafting. They don't even call it crafting. They call it gambling. And again, that's something that I feel maybe the developers have a totally different idea about how players should be getting loot upgrades. You know, to all the people out there who lament that there's no alteration orbs or scouring orbs, I would remind them, or I would just like to inform them that if the game were to have alteration and scouring orbs in them like they do in PoE1, loot you find on the ground wouldn't matter anymore at all, especially rares, past like the first few hours of the content. It would be a very different game. It'd be like the old game. But for now, you know, I found a chest that ended up, people kept asking me if I ever sold that body armor I found. I found a body armor that I slammed once and then sold it for 90 divines.
What?
90 divines, yeah. And you can't do that in a world where you can just craft everything. That's not going to happen.
That's true.
Yeah, technically I did craft on it, one slam, right. But and people will meme about that, but to me, that is more in alignment with what the developers probably want us to see. You drop an item, it's half finished, one or two slams away. If it's extraordinary, maybe you use these rare, super rare omens, in which case it was. And it makes for a really exciting moment.
I totally agree on the tiered rare stuff. I think that was the big improvement for myself in terms of finding items that were actually valuable. off the ground with the patch, I've been seeing way more of those, especially tier 4 and 5 when I'm playing, and I've played probably 15 hours since the patch, and it's gone great. I really like that. I want to, so, not push back, but debate a little bit on being indifferent on the changes. So this is a
I'll pretend you're one of my people in
go
the comment section.
Yeah, do it. Okay, so here we go. Let me try to, I'm writing out a comment. Here we go. Okay, how would I write out a comment? So in 010, I had enough exalted orbs to six mod all of my maps and slam all the cool rares that I found that had were, like you said, half complete. Before the patch in 020, I had already progressed to tier 15 maps. I was not dying, and I had, and I was, you know, killing all rares, opening all chests. I had 8 exalted orbs in my stash, and I was not able to, like, juice my rare items that I found that were half-baked, and I was, like, 4 to 5 modding my rare maps, my waystones. And I didn't have alchemy orbs, so I couldn't, you know, just boost it to 4 mods and then exalt after. Exalts turned into this uber-scarce currency, and I had already gotten to, I think, a part of the game that maybe, I don't know, should we be generous, 10% of the player base is going to get T15 waystones, right? And I'm able to do them, like, with 6 mods. And I was not drowning in exalts. I didn't have enough to actually use, which felt really bad to me. And I was thinking, okay, well, maybe this, like you said, is the vision. They want me to make this choice, or they don't always want me to be running 6 mod rare maps. But the maps I'm running right now, I mean, I was playing a jank lightning spear build, and I was just destroying everything, right? Okay, I wasn't following any build guides, Snoo, so it was bad. I looked at somebody's build guide
hey,
for it.
It was fun.
It was really fun. Man, I don't know how to do freaking passive tree. Like, I'm going all everywhere. It's like, oh, I'm missing out on so much damage. Anyway, I was destroying it, and I'm wondering, like, man, my build already feels, like, so strong, but I can't choose my map. What's going on? What do they want? And then 020 hits with the loot patch, and we're back kind of to 010, where I can start juicing my maps. I'm slamming the rares that I found that are half complete. That feels better to me personally. And I'm not drowning in exalted orbs. What are your thoughts on that?
Hey, man. Hey man. Getting more loot always feels better.
Yeah.
I talked about this analogy before. Yeah. If you're a toddler and, you know, getting more ice cream always feels better. Okay? But, you know, you can't keep getting ice cream every single time. Let's imagine a world where the developers came out with a patch every week and they increased loot by 30% indefinitely. What do you think would happen to this game?
No, it would be bad. I totally agree.
Really? How do you know that? I mean, I think there are people in the comment section who disagree with you, Talkative Try. There are people who disagree with that.
I think there's a
pushback real hard.
I think there's a sweet spot. And I feel like it's going to take a long time to get to that spot. I think you said this in one of your response videos, where it's like, you don't want them to be in a state where every league they'll be buffing loot iteratively, right?
I don't think we are in for a good, healthy, longevity game. 100%. If they do that frequently.
Yeah, yes. I totally agree. That's why I think now, and this sucks because of the way early access is kind of treated, now is like the time for big swings, you know? Like, I feel like they should really test, like you're saying, the vision they want for loot. Like, if, let's say they go back to what 020 started as next patch and, like, some slightly different iteration, you know? But essentially, the amount of loot dropping is the same there because they're testing something new. It's going to be that same firestorm. And they can't really test it, right? Like, it's such a tricky position to be in to take those
I'm
big
sympathetic
swings
to that argument. Actually, yeah. I really am. I really do kind of like that line of thinking. Like, this is, what is this really? Is this a finished game? Is it a beta? Is it an alpha? If you're looking at this through the lens of like an alpha or beta, why not just give everybody a billion divines and we can all test stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then we can give them feedback. If it's meant to be a finished game, I mean, I guess you're charging $30 for a free game. Yeah. Otherwise, it kind of makes people think it's a finished game.
Mystery boxes too.
Especially when you don't normally do that. And that is another criticism I kind of had for the, you can't blame people for interpreting this as a kind of a finished game when you normally have a free game and then suddenly charge $30 for it. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to like do the mental gymnastics to say, no, it's not actually a finished game. I'm buying this thing that's normally free just so I can randomly test and give them feedback. I think it would have not been a terrible idea to flood, you know, the loot and stuff. But it seems like GGG is definitely more concerned with, you know, micromanaging balance, micromanaging the market. And they're treating it like, and then to me, the worst decision that was made by far is the decision to, where they basically overtly said, we're going to treat this like a finished game. Mm-hmm. We are not going to make seismic changes to anything between major patches. Well, there you have it. I mean, basically it's a finished game, and the progress for the game in terms of the whole, like, things that really matter, the testing stuff, is going to be much, much slower.
Dang.
Because they're not able to make sweeping changes. So we're all going to have the product we would like to see delayed greatly, including people who would like to see more resources devoted to PoE1. That is also going to be delayed.
That's a great point.
On account of them having to, you know, constantly micromanage a pseudo-finished game with a half-baked in-game. Mm-hmm. And in an environment where people don't feel like they're getting enough to even test things fully. Yeah, I mean, I got plenty of criticisms for, you know, GGG and their stance. So to anyone who...
You shill. Some
people think I'm a shill, but they apparently haven't seen the hacked video, and they haven't really listened to several other videos of mine. No, I take pretty principled stances on these things, I think, and I can see it from many sides. But going back to the loot situation...
Yeah.
In GGG's defense, I do think the game was meant to be much more ruthless than in PoE1. They remember the developers had stated initially they wanted to merge the game into a new one with only, you know, new campaign and stuff, but they realized, and Chris Wilson directly talked about this a long time ago, they made the decision to separate the games because PoE1 had become a runaway Excess Express train, and they lost control of the game. They were trying to rein it in. Expedition League and the feedback that came from that was the first chink in that armor. And from then on, from henceforth there on, they were always at tug of war with the community. And they even stopped being interactive with the community as a result of, you know, those times. And that's certainly something I blame the community on. The fact that developers wanted to tone the game back down, make it a little bit more manageable. They had certain expectations for how much loot a player should probably have, the progression curve, and they wanted to be kind of get back in control of that. The players weren't having any of it, and, you know, they fought back tooth and nail, and developers said, fine, we'll just make a new game, and we will start it from scratch. We're going to wipe the power creep away. We're going to wipe the loot creep away, and we'll see how you like that. And some people don't like it, but I, for one, do. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, this game and the longevity it could have, you know, with the developers having a much more, you know, better handle on, you know, that creep situation. Because even as somebody who enjoys blasting and juicing and stuff, I see what PoE1 has become. And the developers shoehorned tier 17s into PoE1 to give us some sense of a challenge beyond that. But just imagine a world where, like, tier 17 didn't even exist. I mean, what a joke, you know? The game would be at the high end. And I'm honestly a little tired of it. I would like a game that challenges me, that makes me be more interactive in combat, that slows me down a bit so I can handle it more mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there is something I really wanted to say on this podcast that I think could help bridge the divide a little bit on this.
Yeah, go for it.
For the community. Yeah, this is probably something I want to make a video on later. We had a pretty cool moment on stream the other day where, you know, I was talking to a lot of people in my chat, and a lot of them were playing like Lightning Spear meta builds, and, you know, lamenting how, you know, well, GGG says they want to make, you know, interactive builds or whatever, but of course, you know, the most powerful build is like a one button build. First of all, I don't even agree with that, and I think that is the community's lack of testing on stuff. I feel like, you know, what I'm doing is certainly competitive in that sense, but it requires a little more work, right? And I was trying to figure out, why am I having fun playing the game and other people aren't? And I remember, you know, I remember a time, like, for example, back in Diablo 3, I played this Whirlwind Sprint Barb, and I went back and I watched some footage of that. You know, that build is so much slower than anything I play nowadays. And then I remember actually playing that build. I saw somebody one time, they were running around and they were creating these tornadoes. They're like, wow, that looks cool, but it also looks so boring. All you're doing is holding left click and running around and just kill the monsters. Why don't we add Whirlwind in there, and then we have a rune to make Whirlwind go faster. Why don't we have Frenzy in there, so I have something doing, you know, in between to increase my damage just a little bit. And suddenly that build that looked incredibly boring on paper was way more interactive. It was slow enough that I could handle it mentally, and I could hit that flow state real nice. And I think that's what a lot of people, I think that's what happened to a lot of people in Dawn of the Hunt. They played a build that was, forgive me, just boring. Like, that Lightning Spear is flashy, cool, but in terms of how much you're actually doing in the map, how many buttons you're actually clicking, and the speed at which you're moving, I wouldn't want to play that build, not for more than a few hours. And so I would get bored with it too. And then I'm, you know, I might lash out in various different ways about, you know, on that. So if you find yourself in a place where you can't even hit that flow state because the game feels too boring, you're moving too slow, not even using, you know, enough buttons to, like, for it to keep your attention. Or if you find yourself in a place where the game's too fast and you're trying to do way too much and it becomes mentally exhausting, try to find that middle ground where you can play for hours on end and the time just flies by and you're thinking about different things, and because that's a sweet spot. And it's pretty easy to do that in PoE 1 by going extremely fast and playing a one-button build. But it's also easy to do that in PoE 2 by going a lot slower and playing a four-button build. And that would be my message to, you know, the people, the community on both sides. That really helps me understand a little more, I think, what's happening with a lot of players, and they're just getting bored. It's not all based on, you know, the gameplay or whatever, but that certainly is a large swath of the community who is kind of bored of Dawn of the Hunt at this point, because right. They're just not that the build they're running, they've already written off every single other build. And it's a real shame, because A, this is the time to be testing all kinds of stuff for fun and to give feedback to GG build related things. B, it's almost like you're shooting yourself in the foot by playing a game that's slower and then making, you know, a variation of a build that just doesn't even hold your attention.
So I think that is a great point, and it's such an interesting topic. So PoE 2, it's obvious the developers want to try something new with this game, but they have, I feel like, almost a form of audience capture, right, with a large portion of the active, like, player base, and that's YouTube, Twitch, Reddit, like, people who are talking about the game, right? I'm not talking about people who are just playing the game. I'm talking about the actual communities, wherein it seems like the most vocal parts of those communities, just, they don't want that at all, and they would much prefer something like Path of Exile 1 or Last Epoch. And I thought it was so interesting to see what happened to Path of Exile 2 when that great Last Epoch update came out. And a lot of the people who had the qualms that you were exactly discussing, like, they were just bored with what was going on in PoE 2. They moved to Last Epoch, and they had an absolute blast of a time. Like, they just, you know, immersed themselves into it. Some people trashed PoE 2 at the same time, but a lot of people were just enjoying Last Epoch and saying, you know, this is what I'm actually looking for. Now, what's interesting about that, like, how can Grinding Gear games toe this line, man? Because I agree with what you're saying. I totally agree with what you're saying. I think a lot of people don't want to do that. I don't think they want to change, you know, their viewpoint on the game. They're playing these games for a very specific reason. A lot of people have played, like, Path of Exile 1 for a very long time. They like that. They like that sort of game. But Grinding Gear games obviously also wants to, like, they want those guys to play their game too, which is why there's been a little bit of wishy-washiness from the devs too. So with all that being said, like, what is the way, man? It's interesting. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. It's so confusing.
Part of it, I think, would consist of less shoehorning of PoE 1 mechanics into the new game, more experimenting with brand new systems.
Yes.
That some of which are absolutely not going to hit the mark.
Are you talking about, like, league mechanics? Like expedition?
I'm not just talking about league mechanics. I'm talking about core mechanics.
Core mechanics.
For example, okay. Last Epoch, I think, is a fantastic game, and I could write a dissertation on how incredible that game's crafting system is.
Yeah.
I mean, it hits literally every single mark. It's an item sync. It's a currency sync. It has elements of determinism masked by huge RNG. in the whole like item, you know, crafting power or whatever. You can even craft your own unique items. You can even make your own gear. It allows you to simultaneously create like something to the effect of perfect gear, but also gear that is very much your own.
Mm-hmm.
It is an absolute exceptional crafting system. And they struck gold with that. It's literal magic. GGG is perfectly capable of striking gold on things like that. If they were to, you know, really, you know, experiment a lot harder and try different systems. And I am a little bit, I'm not like disappointed. It's just, I do see there's a lot of similarities again. Like why do we have Breach, Delirium, Ritual, and Expedition as the four core mechanics at the end game when we could have brand new things? Yep. Well, because they didn't have enough time.
Boom.
I guess.
Yes. That's.
But you know, whatever happened to the old message of Blizzard North? It'll be ready when it's finished. And you know, everybody recognizes how intelligent that is, but so few developers and studios are willing to actually adhere to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have, I definitely would have liked to see a lot of more experimentation, more willingness to take huge risks and to fall flat on your feet on different core systems, and then, you know, with an opportunity to strike gold.
Yeah.
I think maybe the developers are a little too afraid of losing the golden goose that is PoE1, the magic of that, while simultaneously trying to drag everyone into PoE2, that they're not really full-blown experimenting with it. They even called it the same game name, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could have taken a step further. They decided to make two separate games. They could have called it something else if they wanted to, but, you know, here we are.
Right. Yeah, it's such a tricky position that I feel like everybody's in, because you talk about, you know, aspects of Path of Exile 2 that you like, and it's constantly compared to its prequel, which makes sense. It's like, one discussion I'd love to have with you, it's like the campaign, okay? This is a lovely example that is good. Okay, so
I know what you're
saying. I know, so I want to hear your take on it, man. And I feel like if a lot of people watch this, it's good. Okay, I'm going to get dunked on in the comments, I know. Okay, Path of Exile 2 campaign. It is longer than Path of Exile 1 campaign, okay? For the vast majority of players, it still is. It will be in the far-flung future when we have Acts 1 through 6. I'm going to stand by that. The zones are bigger. The bosses are more intense. You know, it's more engaging. There's a lot of stuff going on, okay? I don't know. Let's say it takes 15 hours for the average player. Ooh, that's a long time. And then the Path of Exile 1 campaign, people have been playing it a while, but still, let's say for the average player, it takes... just let's say 10 hours, okay? Let's say 10. So 5 hours faster. I see a lot of people saying, okay, you know, the Path of Exile 2 campaign is too long. I need to get to campaign or endgame day one. The Path of Exile 2 campaign needs to take as long as the Path of Exile 1 campaign or less. Like, this needs to happen because this is how it's happening in PoE1. And in PoE1, it is better. And I say to that, you know, PoE2 is a different game, but then, you know, but it's the sequel. But PoE2 is a different game. They're trying to do something different with the game. Why does it need to adhere to the vision of PoE1 when they obviously want to try something different with PoE2? Maybe you get to endgame on day three. Maybe it takes you a few days to get through the campaign. It's more engaging. It's more of an experience, which is obviously what they're aiming for. Is that so bad in the eyes of almost every content creator, many of the viewers, I'm sure, in chat right now, comments, Reddit. Yes,
they're going
that's
crazy
bad.
Right now.
I'm not reading the comments yet, but I'm sure they are. Oh, you are? Okay, I'll look in a sec.
Yeah.
I don't know. We were talking about this earlier, Snoo, and I'm sorry for ranting a little bit. I was talking about how a lot of the dreams for ARPG players, 2 weeks PoE1, 2 weeks Last Epoch, 2 weeks PoE2, 2 weeks Diablo 4, 2 weeks Torchlight, infinite cycle. You know, they're able to zoom through the game, finish the game, max out character, go through. Like, this is the dream for a lot of people, and I get that dream. Does PoE2 need to fit inside that box? Like, does it need to be like the game that you're able to just blast through, max out, and bounce to the next game? Or can it be something different? Because I feel like they were trying to go for something different here, or at least they are now. I feel like with the tremendous pushback, all that might just fade away. I'll stop.
This is piggybacking off of what I just said earlier. They need to take more major risks and stuff, and I think this is actually one they did. Clearly, it was extremely time-consuming, but the developers said, we shall make a campaign that is far more engaging and fulfilling than our first game. It will actually be so good that players won't mind having to spend a lot more time in it. Who knows? They might even like it, you know, like spending time there and stuff. And you know what the truth is? I've actually enjoyed spending time in PoE1's campaign. There are certain moments in there where, you know, I get like... It's not very fun to do the PoE1 campaign when you're trying to like rush it as hard as possible and you're basically under-geared and under, you know, you're trying to get the most efficient, most try-hard build possible. You're literally like playing it like a racer. You're three levels below the area level and you're kiting everything backwards and whittling it down as you move forward. It's not actually that fun to play that way. And I deliberately don't do it. I deliberately run slower through the campaign so it's more satisfying, not over leveling it, but you know, dominating the content. Maybe I'll even buy a Quillrain off trade in Act 5 or something, right? Just to just utterly destroy that content. It makes it way more fun and easy to go through by doing that. I'm not going to run zones over and over again, but you know, who's to say that's a terrible thing? You know, if you're going to spend a little bit extra time enjoying the campaign, we live in a world where, especially the PoE1 community, the only way to play the game is at the end. You're memeing if you even attempt to enjoy, you know, the early game. What are you doing? Why are you wasting time? You should be at the end game. But you got to get the head start on the economy. You know, I get all that. Obviously, coming from my perspective, I understand that. But at the end of the day, it is important to actually enjoy the game wholeheartedly. You know, you can enjoy different aspects of it at different points. I take my time a little bit more to get to the end game. It doesn't make me enjoy it any less. If anything, I enjoy it more because, as you know, the saying goes, it's all about the journey. It's not about just reaching the end. And whereas other, you know, the prevailing meta of all ARPGs now is let's give, players don't like the early game campaign. Let's just give them a skip button.
Right.
You know, GGG has said, you know, that's a failure. They've actually talked about this.
Yep.
That's a failure on the part of the developers to make a campaign that's so boring and so redundant that players just want to hit a skip button. We have failed them.
It's
and
true.
I absolutely love that take. Now, whether they can pull that off or not, right, that's a tall order, especially when, you know, everyone and their dog is saying that ARPGs are nothing but their in-game. But, you know, I can imagine a world where they pull that off. You know, maybe in 4 or 5 years, people have a totally different outlook on the campaign and stuff. Is it really that hard to believe? It obviously was the case in Diablo 2. When that was the only thing that existed, you know? So it's not like we don't have any examples of an outstanding ARPG that exists completely in the campaign where people enjoy playing the campaign.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe 4 or 5 years, man, everything will be very fine-tuned, Acts 2 through 6. I feel like Act 1 is so good. The pacing, just all the areas, all the boss fights... I feel like there's maybe one encounter, like I think there's one area that's missing a boss, maybe two areas that are missing a boss, but if they're added, you know, every area will have a boss fight in it, and it just I can, you know, smoothly, I'm not even rushing, I'm just like I think my best is like 55 minutes just going through with I got a lucky loot drop, I got a really good hammer, and I just blasted through all the bosses, but still it was like very smooth, I wasn't rushing, and it felt so good. If they get, you know, all the acts in that area, because I'm not saying I read through some of the chat, people are saying like the zones are too long. I tip my hat to I agree, like that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying the zones are, you know, perfect. I'm saying that the idea that the campaign, like Snoo said, is something that you need to rush through to get to the real game, to the enjoyable part of the game, kind of sucks. I don't want to play a game for any amount of time if I'm not enjoying it, honestly.
I think it's one of the biggest disconnects is these interviews with Jonathan, for example, and hearing the community talk about, you know, his takes and how his takes are absolutely ruinous for the game and stuff. I feel like it's one of the biggest disconnects that people just aren't. Clearly, that is an area where people are not seeing the vision. And, you know, maybe they are maybe they have something. Maybe there is something inherently wrong with this idea that it's okay to spend more time it's okay to disenchant your rares instead of selling it to a vendor. To, you know, it's okay nice. That you only spend, you know, currency on crafting and gear, not once or twice per zone, but, you know, once or twice per act. Mm. You know, it's okay if the progression curve is such that it is more, you know, for lack of a better word, ruthless in that sense. I think that's there. It's okay if you run the same zone more than once, if you're struggling to get upgrades, if you got a scuffed build, if you're not a good player, you know, let's call it what it is. If you're casual, that's okay, you know, to do that. And it's also okay to like push the mold and try to rush straight through and you know, just rush the campaign if you want to do that. But perhaps the game is set up so that's not really the most optimal way to play.
Right.
And I think that's what they're going for. When I imagine Jonathan sitting at his desk playing the game, I definitely don't imagine it the same way that most people would imagine him, or especially Mark, playing the game. It's, you know, people talking about like Jonathan versus Mark. I imagine both of them are going through the campaign a little bit more seriously than a lot of players are. Hmm. Both of them are doing that. And that neither of them are entering every single zone, trying to get through as fast as humanly possible, you know, plotting out the exact trajectory and the exact pathing and thinking, you know, oh my God, I'm backtracking here. This is the worst thing in the world. You know, they aren't doing that. They're just trying, you know, they're trying to imagine it through the lens of every player involved. And while that's an impossible task, you know, they have this idea about, you know, how the progression curve, how much crafting you're expected to do, how frequently loot is supposed to drop. They have admitted that they're not satisfied with how much loot is dropping in the campaign. Again, more evidence for pro loot, less crafting, I think there. I think a huge disconnect here between the community and the devs on this part, and between that and crafting especially. I think the player base has this idea, especially, and again, this is a lot of POE1 talk, mindset coming into play. You're not going to be finding blank white bases and crafting them from scratch in this game. That's not what this game is. I don't even think in the end, mirror tier crafters are going to be crafting off of white items. I think they're going to be buying items off trade that are half finished, try to fracture them on the other half, and then finish it that way. I think the game is actually going to be that restrictive on crafting. And it will, you know, it'll ramp up over time, obviously. I theorized that the whole Fracture Orb and Recombinator things were released way ahead of schedule. I don't even think the devs wanted to release those things when they did. I think it was just that much of an outcry from the community that we need ways to craft. And the developers are like, why don't you ask us to drop more loot? Not currency, by the way, but more like actual hard loot. Because people, when they say we want more loot, they're actually talking about currency so they can craft more. So I want to be very specific when I say that.
Right.
Ask us to drop more items on the ground that make you excited for upgrades that you find, maybe slam it once or twice on occasion. And to me, that is what this game is shaping up to be. It's not about the crafting, actually.
Well, the tiered items is a huge step in the right direction, because before that, before you weren't seeing a ton of the tiered items, I mean, man, I can probably count, and I didn't play a lot, so I can probably count on, you know, two hands the number of times I got a good item off the ground that I could either sell for a lot, or I actually ended up using for a really long time at endgame. I'm purely talking about endgame here. I totally found gear in the campaign and the like, but I think that was the real big disconnect there. And I feel like next time, you know, 030, as long as the tiered system remains the same and maybe sees some improvements and different ways to not guarantee, but up your chances of getting these tiered rares. Like maybe Arbiter of Ash drops one of his tree things, can be like drops two tier 5 items or something. That's cool, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's going to hugely improve it and win a lot more people to your side. I think, like, I talk to Local Hole a lot, and he is massively pro crafting. He wants all the crafting stuff in the game. But I also talk to Sir Gog, and I think he has your exact opinion too, Snoo. I totally understand what you mean, where the moment you add these, they're not even item editors, right? They require a lot of steps to still get a good item with alt orbs and scouring orbs, but they devalue what, making up numbers again here, 70% of the player base is going to pick up off the ground and post on trade. Like, nobody's going to buy that stuff because all the actually good items are just going to be crafted and posted on trade, right? By the 5%. something. So
from everything I've seen, this is the biggest fundamental difference from POE1, POE2 is the expectation of how players are getting loot and getting gear upgrades. What percentage of a gear upgrade is derived from the drop versus from the craft? And in POE1, it's like 95-5. Okay. But in 95 craft, 5 drop. You know, only like tier 0 and boss uniques are truly great items in POE1 to drop on the ground. Nothing else matters in that game except currency, divination cards, and basically tier 0 uniques. That is not the game they want here. And I quite frankly agree that that doesn't make for a very exciting game, you know, when you're just lighting that much loot on fire. You know, you should probably, you know, have players care a little bit more about the random, you know, maybe the magic items, maybe the rare items, and that sort of thing. That's why I think you and I agree, the tiered rare system is actually a great addition. Cool. Really helps ramp up this excitement level.
Yeah.
The anticipation for having a good item when a tier 5 of a great base drops, you're excited to ID it.
Because you also see it too. Like now I actually
see
it.
Tier 5 stellar amulet drops, you're like, oh my God. I want to see this right now. Open up my inventory. Boom.
Yeah, screw the white stellar amulets. Give me the tier 5 rare stellar amulets, man. No, but you're totally right. And I can see it now after the patch, truly, with the more mod culling that they did and the roll rate. I can actually see it when I pick up an ID of these rares, which is cool. And I haven't even played that much. I'm really curious how it's going to feel in a 0 to... I was going to say 100, but I'm never getting level 100 in POE 2. 0 to 90 character progression for me is going to feel like if I get to do another one in 0
to 0. Oh, you're doing
that? Huh? I'm curious. You're doing that? I think I want to. I don't know about the time. It depends on if they do August and August ship. I think I'll have enough time if it's an August 030 to do a mercenary. Because I did a monk last patch, and this patch I did a Huntress. So maybe I'll do a merc. I haven't touched crossbows at all. So...
Okay.
Yeah, so it might be exciting. But yeah, oh, that was good discussion. The tiered system, man. I'm glad that they're continuing to fine tune it, and I'm glad they released that patch. I think that was probably the biggest one from the loot patch from my perspective. So oh my gosh, we covered a lot there. I just looked at our question list. Let me see if there was something I wanted to. We covered that, Snoo. That. Oh. Maybe this? So we touched on the campaign, it being very different than POE 1 currently, obviously. Mm-hmm. Are there any other aspects of Path of Exile 2 that are currently distinct from POE 1 that you'd like to see remain that way, besides the campaign?
Oh, see remain that way?
Yeah. Or if there are any changes you want to see moving more in the POE 1 direction.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that, too.
I'm a little confused on why so many people hate the tower system. To me, it is, I mean, that in and of itself, maybe, but like, I wonder if people actually hate the tower system or if they hate the individualized Atlas, whereby you have to, you know, you cannot one for one copy your favorite streamer on exactly the strat they're doing. You have to actually, you know a little bit about
randomized
the game to figure out what you're doing, you know, for yourself. It's a hard pill to swallow, I guess, but... You know, to me, the tower system is fine. Like, I actually really like the delve aspect of the Atlas. I think now looking back on it, I didn't realize this at the time, but I feel like the POE1 Atlas is one of the most boring things ever, you know, because you're just plugging in a map and you're not even like progressing towards any area or anything. You're just, you know, oh, I'm going to run these, you know, 30 of these maps juiced or whatever. And I get that's what some people want, but to me, that is pretty redundant gameplay. And it doesn't help at all in terms of adding to the mystery of it all. You know, the mystery of like how your experience goes. I like it's not like in some cases people's atlases were literally bricked, and that's a huge problem, of course, if that happens.
Yeah.
But aside from that insane case, no, I think it's great. I never really got into Delve itself, but I've always respected how cool it was that it was. You know. This thing just like randomly keep progressing for endlessly forever. It makes perfect sense to combine that system with the Atlas. I think that was a genius move on their part. And whether there are towers in the future or not, I don't think it matters that much. But as far as that core system, I hope it stays.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. I like towers a lot more now than in 0.10 personally. The big range and the much greater volume of mechanics you can add to maps. And that's That's one thing that I'm curious about your thoughts on. So I am leaning toward agreeing with you on enjoying the Infinite Atlas that has the more exploration bend to it, the Infinite Atlas. However, man, the one thing that when I played Freesia, I played to level 80 as well. I don't know how far you played, but I played to 80. And I played a little bit of the Atlas. The one thing that was just so in my face in PoE 1 that I really love is just the volume and a surety of getting cool extra mechanics in your maps and having some way of controlling that. And even in Freesia, it was the idols. But obviously, I'm referencing, you know, Scarabs and, or just the basic Atlas passive skill tree, right? In PoE 2, you don't have that. It's either it spawns on your map randomly, you got to get lucky, or you got to get to a tower and hope that, or I'm never going to do the whole thing where you're like, okay, I got to do these maps to make sure that the breach tablet gets onto this specific sediment. I don't have the patience to do that. I just do it. Maybe that's a fault on me. But I'm just wishing that maybe there was a little bit more of a way to have agency over the custom mechanics you see in Endgame. Like one qualm I have with Endgame is the speed at which you start to access your Atlas passive skill trees, the extra ones. I feel like being able to
hit... that slowed down a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's slowed down. And I don't know. I still don't have any of them unlocked. And I play like 40 hours. And is that okay? Maybe. I don't like the argument that I heard somebody make. I don't remember who it was, but it's like, oh, well, it's not worth doing any of these mechanics until you have the fully maxed out Atlas passive skill tree. I don't think like that. I just think like, I would just, you know, like to be able to get it a little bit earlier. Like, I'm doing the mechanics still, I'm having fun, but being able to do them more often would be cool. And maybe those trees would be a way to do that. I don't know.
I mean, this is going to sound strange coming from me as somebody who's played like Dawn of the Hunt in like 3 weeks straight, but, or 3 weeks, you know, in the end game straight. But I've heard and listened to a lot of criticism about the end game, how there's like, you know, anything between like, there is no end game, you know, versus, you know, towers suck and like, oh, but this is okay. And then why with the same mechanics to me, this, I just find myself reluctant to really criticize the end game because, I mean, my last video was like, was putting the end game out there even a good idea at the end of the day when it was so half baked? I agree with people that the end game is like really half baked, especially if you are comparing it to PoE 1. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not really fair. I don't think it's fair to put PoE 1's end game up right next to PoE 2's end game and then like one for one compare them in your mind. Like, why would you do that? That's like 10 years of development versus, you know, 10 minutes of development because they were focusing on the campaign and then suddenly like, oh my god, we gotta get an end game out or else people are gonna be upset. Of course it's gonna be like super half baked. I'm more along the lines of, should you have even released it? Or rather, just taken things one step at a time.
What's your opinion? Would you have preferred the campaign released in full? With maybe
I heard a lot. The comment section on that video blew up because most people do think that it would have ultimately been a bad idea, but there were a lot of really good takes in there about this and that. It was definitely a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing.
I get that.
And I think it depends on the individual player, but all in all, it's probably good that they did release it. But that kind of hinges on the assumption that the players are themselves are not going to ruthlessly critique an endgame for having, you know, so little development on it anyway. The developers clearly want the players to focus their ire on the early game, the campaign, where they have already spent a great deal of time and where they feel like the game is essentially finished. That's where they want the feedback to focus on. I don't think the developers are going through the mountains of feedback on the end game because they're just going to look at that and they're going to be like, oh yeah, I mean, we only had like 10 minutes to throw it in there. Of course it's that. Yeah, okay. And at the end of the day, the developers are trying to like play this massive catch-up, neglecting other core issues to the game, maybe other problems, and then neglecting PoE 1 development even more, and then trying to, you know, somehow balance the balance things so that the market isn't in shambles for a league that's not really a league, but we're all kind of pretending it is a league, and for an end game that is so half cooked, but we're all trying to make it work. I just wish people would focus a little less on, you know, their ire, a little less of their ire on the end game, and a little bit more on, you know, other issues that are more core to the game.
Okay. Okay.
And again, this is that mindset that there is nothing matters except the end game. And man, I'm telling you, if you go into PoE 2 with that mindset, you are clearly you're not going to like
it. You will not have fun, which
you're
I think
have fun. No.
Right. Which I think also led to, we were talking a little bit earlier with chat about, I was saying, you know, on launch day and the days after, people weren't believing me that there were paragraphs of pure, like, just anger and vitriol about PoE 2 and how bad the game was, and at Mark and Jonathan, blah, blah, blah. And I tried to go through, I couldn't find any of them on Reddit, but in those first few days, I swear they were there and they were highly upvoted because a lot of people snoo. You're right on point. They went in, they were like, get to endgame. Endgame's, you know, good. It's a little bit like PoE 1, especially after playing, you know, all those crazy stat stackers and 0-1-0. And then they hit, you know, some of these crazy tuned encounters in the campaign. They're like, what the hell is this? I can't get past Lachlan.
Yeah.
This is
I've
trash.
Had some criticisms for the developers in this podcast, but by far my biggest criticism for the community and the players is stop playing PoE 2 like it's PoE 1. Don't go into it like it's a new league. Try to beat the market on everything. What do you even care about the market in this game in early access?
Bugs,
you know,
are gonna...
and again, the developers didn't do us any favors by putting, you know, the soft gloves on and saying we're never gonna nuke build again between patches. We're gonna take this real nice and slow. Here's your game, here's your end game. Have fun for 3 weeks. We're not gonna change hardly anything. Or no, sorry, like 2 months. I don't think they did the same favor. I think both sides dropped the ball on this, and yeah, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around.
Hoping for better in 0-3-0. Speaking of 0-3-0, Snoo, do you have... There's a lot of predictions for, you know, the next PoE 2 patch. You know, new act, new class. Do you have any predictions for it that haven't already been talked about to death? Anything at all?
Well, I know you're super excited about the new class. It will certainly come out.
I'm never going to... Just not going to talk about it. Dude, I'm so certain they're delaying it to like the end now. I feel like there's some major issues with Druid and shape shifting that is totally...
I'm hoping for acts 4-6.
Please.
I don't even care if they mess with the end game. It, to me, it's not
totally agree.
Like, that's not where the focus should be. I mean, they should focus on major systems, classes. For anyone who enjoys build creation and build stuff, that is where the emphasis should be on the development, I think. So new classes, new skills, new uniques. This patch was amazing when it came to all the new uniques, all the new support gems, the new spear archetype, the new class. I mean, to anyone who actually, you know, dove into that, had an amazing time this time. And I am one of them who did that. And, you know, you got other people like, you know, what's your off-meta Michael or whatever. I know I saw some of his content. And, you know, this is an example. These are examples of actually taking the right approach towards the early access, you know, critiquing it, giving real feedback, testing things that nobody else is testing, and bringing it to the fold. I don't play the early access the way it really ought to be played, because I kind of stick with one class and I just do it that way, and that makes me happier. But if I was truly the model citizen here, I would be making like so many different builds, so many different classes. I would be testing out all the different classes. And, you know, I do my part. I'm testing, you know, currency earning strategies and an in-game that's half-cooked. And it doesn't really matter that much right now at this stage of the game. But I'm also enjoying, you know, I definitely dove super deep on the build creation process. So I'm quite happy that I know I did the right thing there in terms of, you know, that helped solidify my enjoyment of all this. But yeah, I would like to see them focus more on the early game, the acts, a little less on the end game. Get those systems out, get the new classes out, get this train moving along,
then
towards the end, really flesh out the end game. And also, I would like to see them give PoE1 absolutist their league. That
Please.
Would be nice.
Please.
And it would really help the community as a whole if they would do that. Obviously, extra criticism goes to the development team who said they would do that and didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We would like to see that come out, you know, yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be another thing.
June is, I hope they hit the mark in June. That I mean, that would mm-hmm. be, I've been saying it basically every time I hit live. It's, I think that would be the best thing for Path of Exile 2 right now. I think just, we have a very passionate community. Very passionate.
Yeah,
and they really want their league. You know, they fling the best memes out there. They fling the worst memes out there. They just want their league. I say I'm gonna play it. I'm a Path of Exile 1. I'm not gonna be like Path of Exile 2 only. I'm gonna hop in there. I played Freesia. I've been playing every league. You know, 36, 40 challenges since Metamorph. Come on, you think you're gonna? You said at the beginning you don't know what you're gonna do.
I still don't know exactly.
You don't know?
Yeah,
okay.
I still don't know. Exactly. Depending on the timing.
Limited
of different
time.
Things.
Yeah.
Depending on the timing and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing. I mean, yeah. The more time that goes on without anything else on the horizon, probably for sure. But like, what if they release 3.26 and then like 1 or 2 weeks later they release 0.3? I mean, in that case, I might not.
Yeah, and I agree.
It depends
with you
on what.
Yeah.
The time.
I mean, we got a masochist in the chat who's saying they should come out on the same day. You know, to just.
I think that would be hilarious.
That would
know.
Be just.
But you know, they're trying to treat this like they're already trying to treat this game like it's a finished game.
They are.
So my prediction would be that they are going to try to straddle the releases out.
Yeah.
You know, 0.3 will be, you know, not get in the way of 3.26, even though it really shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
I wish it. Not yet. But anyway, yeah.
All right, Snoo. Was there anything else you wanted to chat about today at all?
No. Just to reiterate, I got a lot of criticisms go all kinds of different ways, but myself enjoying the game much. I would hope that the communities can kind of come together and that all this vitriol can kind of subside. For anybody who's kind of wondering the thought that all my points and takes coming way out of left field, especially given my background as a juicer and all that stuff. A lot of that has not so much to do with extreme strong personal feelings. It has more to do with trying to just rebalance the community to back in a better place, because the pendulum was swinging so hard in terms of the vitriolic disdain for everything PoE2. And I didn't like it. I was fed up with it. And so, you know, I'm going to use my platform to speak up on, it's not even so much as speaking up on behalf of the other side, just trying to temper people down a little bit. Like it's too much, you know, it's just too much. People can have whatever opinions they want, but we can't let the community be absolutely dominated by, say what you want. I believe it's a vocal minority, even to this day. I still think, you know, and again, we're talking about the absolute, the biggest naysayers. I think most people are a little more level-headed. Most people are, but it's just gotten kind of ridiculous. And we need, you know, if there's going to be a hard narrative pushed on one side, you need to develop a narrative to be pushed the other way to help counterbalance that. It needs to happen.
So. Dude, I appreciate you. I absolutely love that, you know, if people are starting to speak up a little bit in regards to that, because I don't know if you heard earlier I was talking about it. You know, I almost just bounced out because it was, like you said, the pendulum just shifted so hard. And I know I'm like weak-willed for saying that, or I was weak-willed, you know, but I was just like, man, I was getting like all these crazy things coming my way. And I was thinking, do I want to do this? This is so upsetting. Like, I want to be that positive force, like you're saying, that also has critiques and is trying to be level-headed. Then everybody, it's just, you're all or nothing. And I'm like, no, you don't have to be that way, you guys, please. Why?
Well, I mean, my chat was doing it too, of course. And I've harbored many of the PoE1 juicer for life, you know, absolutists and stuff. And I understand where they're coming from, but I kind of stamped that out immediately because I just basically deviled advocated every single thing they were saying constantly. And they either just left or they got with the program, one or the other. And I did lurk in your chat too. I did see some of that. And yeah, there are a lot of people who are kind of tuned down to this. They don't even know what we're talking about right now so much. But if you were a content creator, if you were any size content creator, you had people coming in right and left saying, wow, dude, you're still playing this trash game. well, Last Epoch's out. What are you doing? It's just totally uncalled for. Those kind of comments are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
People just taking out their vitriol and angst on you know, somebody else, trying to, you know, create a mob out of thin air and stuff. That's absolutely funny. Ridiculous. And I'd had enough of it. And I am now seeing a pendulum starting to come back and swing the other way. So you're going to see my demeanor and stuff begin to change a little bit. You know, I'll get a little nicer now. Now that we've established a middle ground a bit here, because I don't want to be like this all the time.
Right.
But overall, quite happy with the game. I really hope to see that more development, more cool, high risk chances taken. I don't want the developers to succumb to, you know, give us more loot now. Just every single time, just throw in more loot, and then before you know it, we're an obese toddler with ice cream coming out our ears. And yeah, I would like to see something to that effect.
Well, Snoo, this has been absolutely lovely, man. Thank you so much for hopping on. I'm glad that we figured out the tech issues too. I was a little scared there for a moment at the beginning.
But we're all good. I knew we'd work it out.
All right, man. Yeah. Thank you so much. The chat really seemed to enjoy it. What did somebody say? The best pod I've ever done. Bro, look at that. The best top pod we've ever done, man. This is number 51. Wow. Hats off to you.
Well, I wonder if it'll be better. I wonder if this podcast is better than 3.26.
Ooh. All right. And with that, thank you, Snoo. I'll chat with you later, man. It's been a great time.
Bye. Bye.